I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, and it's good news about messianic salvation through Messiah Jesus, because this good news unleashes the power of God to save everyone who believes this message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Well, shalom. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. That's right, Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, this is a very special week. Easter is coming up this coming Sunday. Passover begins Friday night at sunset. And we have a special guest with us today to give us his story, how God redeemed him from his Egypts of sin, just like he redeemed the Jewish people. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about Passover as well. And it's my privilege to have my son-in-law, Elliot Marks, Ellie, join us on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Shalom, Ellie.
Shalom, Lauren.
Ellie, give us your story. How did the three-in-one God, the living God, the God of Israel, reveal himself to you and that Yeshua is, in fact, our wonderful Jewish Messiah? How has Jesus made you, Ellie, kosher?
Well, I was brought up in a Jewish home just outside of London, England, and my family attended an Orthodox synagogue where I had my bar mitzvah. And then later, when I graduated from college, I wanted to live in Israel. And it was there where I met your daughter, Aliza. And she was actually the first Jewish Christian or Messianic Jew I'd ever met. And after discovering that I was kind of searching for my Jewish identity, she had asked me, have I ever read the New Testament? To which I said, of course I haven't. I'm Jewish. And then, as time went on, we got to know each other, and I ended up reading the New Testament, and when I read it, I thought, wow, this is the most Jewish book I've ever read. Then, the end of the story is basically, Aliza became my wife, as you know, and I realized that everything it said in this book, the New Testament, was true, and this person is the Messiah of Israel. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and my personal savior.
That's a great story. When you were growing up, did you hear about Jews who believed in Jesus, Messianic Jews, Jews for Jesus?
That idea was a very foreign concept to me. I'd heard that it was Christians, and in my mind, you were either Jewish or not Jewish, Jewish or Christian. So I'd never really heard of Messianic Jews before.
Okay. You know, a lot of people think that Jews don't believe in Jesus. Judaism and Christianity are complete opposites, and that when a Jewish person accepts Jesus as the Messiah, he's no longer Jewish. But that's not true. Do you feel more or less Jewish now that you are a Messianic Jew?
I'm as Jewish, and if anything, I feel more Jewish because I know the Jewish Messiah, and what way can you be more Jewish than knowing the Jewish Messiah?
It's pretty Jewish when a Jewish person follows the King of the Jews, huh?
Right.
Well, Elliot, Passover's coming up. What does Passover mean to you, you know, as a Jewish believer? Well, even before we get to that, tell us a little bit about how you celebrated Passover growing up outside of London.
Well, my family were fairly traditional, but not very Orthodox. But my uncle was actually the person who was the most Orthodox Jewish man in our family, I would say. And every year we would go to his house for Passover. So my immediate family would join with his family, and we would celebrate Passover together. So there was two or three families around this around the Passover table. We would have the Seder, and he would guide us through as the head of the house and celebrate the customs. We would have the Seder plate with all of the elements from the Karpas through to the Zeroah, and
Hold on, Ellie. You're using some Hebrew that everyone might not be familiar with. The zeroah is the bone, usually of an, you know, a lamb or maybe a chicken, representing the Passover lamb, and the charoset, the delicious apple mixture, right? And the horse, you know, the bitter herbs are there.
The karpas I mentioned, the greens, which represent life.
The greens, the parsley usually, or some other, you know, maybe celery tops.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so we would celebrate all of those items, which would be on the Seder plate, which was led by the head of the house and passed round to each person at the table. So my family were there and partaking in those customary and traditional elements that represent our coming out of Egypt and our redemption from bondage and slavery to Pharaoh and from Egypt. And there was, you know, I was the youngest in the house, so I was given the task of reciting the traditional four questions of Passover. We ask the meaning of Passover, and you ask four questions, and they are usually sung or chanted, and job was always full to me because I was the youngest of my brother and cousins.
Okay.
The first question is asked the meaning, why is this night different from all other nights? And that's when we begin to explain the story of Passover as it unfolds and why it's very different.
Let's talk a little bit about the story of Passover. You've been giving Passover presentations representing Jews for Jesus in various churches here in Michigan over the past several weeks, and you will for this week as well. You're speaking in something like 20 churches, right?
That's right. I think 22 in total in the Michigan and surrounding area leading up to Passover.
You've been giving what's called Christ in the Passover presentations.
Mm-hmm. And that's Jews for Jesus tradition. And we go out and share with people more about our Jewish Passover and the Seder, which I would have celebrated growing up along with every other Jewish person traditionally, and we explain it in its messianic or its context in with seeing Christ in the Passover, how
so
we see him, the fulfillment, through those elements that I mentioned.
So growing up, you were the youngest son, and it's traditional for the youngest son to ask the four Passover questions, and the four questions give an opportunity for the Passover story, this marvelous story of God's intervention in human history and his saving power, his redeeming power, to be revealed for the chosen people. Tell us briefly the story of Passover. You know the story of Passover, right?
Yeah, well, briefly, the story of redemption, and it's the very heart of Passover, our liberation from bondage. The Jewish people were enslaved under Pharaoh in Egypt, and during that time, we had to do Pharaoh's will, do his bidding, and we were led out of Egypt as God promised us through the prophet Moses, and through God's work, he laid his hands upon the Pharaoh and said that there would be 10 plagues, and because of those plagues, and finally the 10th plague, which was the slaying of the firstborn son, convinced Pharaoh to let our Jewish people go. And through that, Moses led our people out of Egypt, and that was the Passover story, the redemption. But the proviso with the slaying of the firstborn son, in order that each person, each Jewish family must sprinkle the blood of the Passover lamb, a sacrificed, spotless lamb, and put its blood on the doorposts of each one of their homes. And it's when God saw the blood on those doorposts that he forced death to pass over the houses, so the son wasn't slain in those houses. And that's where we get the name Passover. And that's the story of Passover.
And how do you see Messiah portrayed in the Jewish Passover, this holiday that our people have been celebrating for 3,500 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned the spotless lamb, and it was because of the spotless lamb that our people had to sprinkle that blood on their doors and sacrifice that lamb without breaking any of its bones. And we can see that fulfilled in Messiah Jesus, because none of his bones were to be broken. And he was also a spotless lamb without sin who had to be slain, and it was because of his blood that each one of us can be redeemed from the even greater bondage of Satan and sin, and like from Pharaoh's bondage, we can be freed from sin's bondage through faith in the Son of God, the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, Messiah Yeshua.
Elliot, do you think it's a coincidence that Messiah Jesus died on the actual day of Passover?
No, I do not think that's a coincidence. I think God's promises were stood from eternity and will always come true, and his there's no coincidences with God.
Tell us a little bit about the matzah tash, this 3-in-1 bag, and the afikomen, the middle matzah.
Yeah, well, the matzah tash is a bag, tash being Yiddish or German for bag, and matzah being unleavened bread. It contains 3 layers of unleavened bread, or matzah, separated by a piece of cloth, which makes the bag of 3 matzahs. And as I mentioned, the Seder that my family would partake in, led by my uncle, and he would take the matzah tash, and remove the middle layer, break it in two, and after reciting the blessing, take one half, and it was called the afikomen. And this half of the middle piece of matzah removed from the matzah tash was to be hidden somewhere in the house, or wrapped in a white cloth and buried, so that none of the other people knew where it was hidden. But it was up to my brother and my cousins to try and find this afikomen. So all the children searched for it. Now, I really wanted to find it, because if I did, I knew there was going to be money involved. So it was definitely advantageous to find the afikomen. And when it's returned, we are given the reward, and this afikomen is then broken again, given out to each person at the table, and a small piece is taken along with the third cup, the cup that comes after dinner. And that's the cup of redemption. Now, I see a fulfillment in this custom concerning the afikomen, which is broken, buried, and then brought back, because all my life I celebrated it and I wanted to find it, but I was never explained the meaning or the custom behind this tradition. And when I was explained that it was representation of our Messiah Jesus, who was broken, buried, and then brought back, my eyes were opened, and the puzzle seemed to fit together, that it was a picture of our Messiah, who was broken for our sin.
So let me clarify this. During the Jewish Passover Seder, Jewish people all over the world will have 3 pieces of matzah in one bag, or 3 pieces of matzah separated by napkins or linen. The middle one is taken out. It's unleavened bread, which is sinless. The middle one is taken out, not the top, not the bottom. We take it out, we break it in half, we wrap it up in another piece of cloth, we hide it for a time, and then the children at some point during the Seder begin their search for this hidden matzah, the afikomen. The child who finds it brings it to the head of the home, and the head of the home rewards the child who finds it, usually with a gift of money, right?
That's right.
And Jewish people are celebrating this all over the world. We will be in another less than a week on Friday night.
Yep. Every pretty much every Jewish person has celebrated and will celebrate this tradition.
You know, I also celebrated it when I was growing up, and, you know, there's explanations why we have this three-in-one bag and take out the middle one. Some say the three represent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three founding fathers of the chosen people. Others say the three pieces of matzah represent the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the nation of Israel, the three major divisions within the Jewish people. But Elliot, if that was true, I mean, why would we take the middle one out, break it in half, wrap it up, hide it for a time, and reward the one who finds it?
That's right. Why do we break poor Isaac? Or why do we break the middle division? It doesn't seem to make sense that the origin of that tradition seems to be lost in the Jewish custom.
You know, I have a theory, and it's not my theory. I heard this when I was going to Bible college from my professor, Dr. Lewis Goldberg of blessed memory, that this was a tradition, this three-in-one bag and taking out the middle one and hiding it, was a tradition that was developed by the early Messianic Jews, probably in the first or second or third centuries. This was a tradition that they specifically came up with to remember the Messiah and the three in oneness of God, and the Messiah's coming into this world and being broken and dying, being, you know, buried, and then coming back to life, being resurrected, and the child who finds this bread of life is rewarded by the Father, just as we are rewarded by our Heavenly Father. What do you think about that, Elliot?
Well, according to God's word, that explanation certainly seems to make a lot more sense, and I can definitely see that through the tradition and through the scriptures that is the broken Messiah who would rise again.
You celebrated Passover in London as you were growing up. You lived in Israel for a time. You celebrated Passover in Israel, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I lived in Israel for about 2 years, and during that time I was able to celebrate Passover with some Israeli friends and family there.
And what was that like? Was it special in any way?
You know, much of the traditions and the customs are pretty much the same all over the world. Now, the difference in Israel I found was maybe there was a little bit more celebration, a little bit more more food, maybe some extra wine poured, and the food was definitely of more Middle Eastern flair. That was one of the big differences, so it was definitely a great chag or celebration.
You know, Congregation Shema Yisrael, we're having a couple of Passover Seders this coming Friday night is the beginning of Passover. We're having our first Seder, and then Saturday night, April 7th, and we're celebrating them at the Farmington Hills Manor, and we are opening our Passover Seders to the entire community. And we welcome people to celebrate Passover with us. It's a really great holiday. It is so meaningful. It is so biblical, especially when you make these connections between God saving the Jewish people out of slavery to Egypt and God saving everyone through the Messiah who died on Passover and fulfillment of Passover. There's all these wonderful connections. It just really enriches our understanding and our faith. And we still have really till tomorrow. People can sign up for our Passover Seders pretty much till tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon. Tickets are $25 for adults and $12 for children 12 and under. And if you want to join us for Passover, you'll need to bring a check to our office tomorrow. We have an office in Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church on Telegraph, just north of Long Lake. The easiest way, however, is to go to our website, which is shema.com, and use the donate button. And as you're going through this donation process online using PayPal, there is a place where you can put a message. And we need you to include which night you want to attend, Friday night or Saturday night, and how many people are going to be in your party. Elliot, are you going to be able to join us for Passover, one of the Friday night or Saturday night?
You know, the Friday night will be my final Passover Seder, and I'll be in Payne, Ohio, for a Jews for Jesus, Christ in the Passover. But for the second night of Passover, I would love to join you at one of your the Shema Seders.
Well, that's great. You are about to do something very special in Israel with Jews for Jesus, this Behold Your God outreach in the city of Haifa, which I believe is Israel's third largest city. Tell us a little bit about the Haifa campaign.
That's right. Haifa is actually going to be the newest branch of Jews for Jesus, the second branch of Jews for Jesus in Israel. And that branch was just opened up, and this campaign, Behold Your God, Israel, is part of a series of campaigns, and this is a campaign which coincides with the opening of that branch in Haifa, where we go out to share the gospel, the good news of Messiah, Jesus, with our Jewish people. And we do that in many ways, be it over the phone, be it through advertisements or newspaper campaigns, billboards, and one of the ways is we hold banners to show the people of Israel that the name they know, Jesus by Yeshu, a derogatory name, his actual name is Yeshua, which means salvation. And we've had a great response from those campaigns, just telling Israelis who don't even know the real name of the Jewish Messiah about him.
And so you're going to be participating, and I know Jews for Jesus is going to be able to take out full-page ads and the major Israeli newspapers and huge billboards and other billboards and billboards on buses and, you know, tens of thousands of pamphlets and these. It should be tremendous. I believe that you guys are going to make an impact not just on the city of Haifa, but on all of Israel. Elliot, I believe that Jews for Jesus is a fantastic organization doing the real work of Jewish ministry, bringing the good news of our wonderful Jewish Messiah, the Passover Lamb, to our Jewish people. If someone wanted to encourage you and support you, you're a new missionary on staff with Jews for Jesus, how could they do that? How could they share in your ministry and be your Aaron and Hur and hold you up in the work of Jewish ministry?
Well, one of the easiest ways is by going to our website, jewsforjesus.org, and there you can sign up for our free monthly newsletter. And if you partake in that and receive it, then you can know how to pray for us, and your prayer counts for so much. And on that website, you can actually support me personally, and if you'd like to make a donation through that website, you're able to do that. And so by praying, giving, and supporting, that's how you can support our ministry and my ministry personally.
Those of you who are listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, you know, Jewish ministry, Jewish evangelism is really important. It's close to the heart of God. And I want to encourage you, if you're not supporting a good Jewish ministry, support one. Jews for Jesus is wonderful. Of course, our congregation, Shema Yisrael, is also good. But here's a young man who has come to know the Lord in the past 3 or 4 years. He's now serving the Lord. He's reaching his own Jewish people here in the United States and Israel with this message of salvation that the chosen people so desperately need. He's doing it in a Jewish way to Jewish people. Let's get behind someone like Elliot Marks. Elliot, it's been really great to have you on Jesus Made Me Kosher today. I'd love to do it again. Maybe you can come back and give us a report on the Haifa campaign after you're finished with it.
I would love to. Thank you.
Well, this is Rabbi Lauren. You've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We'll be talking more about Passover and the resurrection of Messiah, our Passover Lamb, for the rest of this week. From all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.